Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Come to you this morning with good news, because in 2 weeks we'll have two men ordained for our diocese as priests of Jesus Christ, which is a beautiful and good thing. And the church is in need of more men to answer the call to the priesthood. My classmate, who is now the vocation director, Father Mark Malesva, he said if every single parish had at least one man ordained a priest every 30 years, there would be no shortage. So it means we have to pray and sacrifice and realign our vision of the priesthood and putting a focus on that need. And sometimes on Mother's Day, there's a thought in the mother's heart, like if I, you know, really encourage my son to answer a call to the priesthood, then that means he would be lonely. As a priest of Jesus Christ for 7 years, I love being a priest. I can honestly say I've never felt lonely once in my priesthood. And there's also blessings for the mothers as they give their sons away to the church as priests of Jesus Christ. So at the ordination, when a man is ordained a priest, the bishop, what he'll do is he'll take chrism oil and he'll bless and consecrate the priest's hands so he can confect the Eucharist, absolve sins, anoint the sick. So his hands become the literal hands of Jesus Christ. But what he does after he anoints the priest's hands, he takes a towel that looks kind of like this. And what he'll do is he'll wrap the priest's hands in that. And there's different traditions of how the priest, what he does with the maniturgium, that towel. So my particular maniturgium was actually made out of my mom's wedding dress. And on one end, it had the date of their wedding anniversary. On the other end, it had sewed in the date of my priestly ordination, which is July 1st, 2017. And when the priest is ordained, the next day he always comes back to his home parish and celebrates his first Mass to thank all the people who have been praying for him for the past 6, 7, 8, 9 years, depending how long he was in seminary. But after communion and after the closing prayers, the priest gives us thank yous. And one thing that I did for my mom is I took my maniturgium, put it in a shadow box, and I gave it to my mom to say thank you for praying for me and supporting me. But the tradition is that when the priest will most likely celebrate his mom's funeral is that her hands will be wrapped in that maniturgium as a symbol of her giving her life to Christ and giving her son to Jesus and saying, I gave you a priest. He confected the Eucharist. He absolved sins. And it's a way of the church, again, thanking the mothers for sacrificing and giving their sons. And again, all days as a priest, our majority, they're joyful, but there are some hard ones. One of the hardest ones I can remember when I was in Anago in northern Wisconsin was when a young mom came up to me after Mass, just weeping. Tears had soaked her coat, and she has looked at me and said, Father, I lost my baby. I lost my baby. I just want to preach in the reality today on the reality of miscarriage, because those are often the forgotten mothers. And for those of you who are here who have had a miscarriage or multiple miscarriages, on just behalf of all priests of the church, just want to say that we see you and we love you and we're here for you. And my hope is that in this homily, and through the extremely good news, the extraordinary life-changing good news of Jesus Christ, who conquered sin and death, who rose and ascended into heaven so he could give us his Holy Spirit so we could become like him, is that those who have had a miscarriage are given hope today and that they are given permission to heal. Because every single child that was miscarried was as real as every single person in this church. And studies say that 1 in 4 women will have a miscarriage. And it seems to me that rarely, if ever, are miscarriages mentioned. And often, those mothers are forgotten. And they've been carrying around this deep sorrow of losing their child due to having a miscarriage. And I just want to speak to you today, to all women who have had miscarriages, to know that you're not alone. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not a bad mother, and you're not a bad wife, and you're not a failure. Only the devil would speak such horrifying things to a broken heart. The reality of having a miscarriage can form a hole in one's heart so deep that it seems that nothing can fill that emptiness. Just for a moment, just ponder with me the word miscarriage. That word seems to imply that something is wrong with you, or that you're a failure, or you're a bad mother. Those are all lies from the pit of hell. Jesus said today in our gospel, as he ascends to the Father, that demons would be cast out. And so through the authority of my priesthood and through the church, I just want to rebuke all those demons that harass any woman here who's had a miscarriage, to have that stop today, those lies to stop today. Because the baby in your womb, for no matter for how long, was in a sacred place for his or her life. And that child was living in a temple where they were loved. Just for a moment, I just want to draw you to the statue of Mary that's before me. The Mother of God had the most sacred womb to ever exist. In her womb, she held the God of the universe in the person of Jesus, who created a universe that is 90 plus billion light years across. And Mary, the Mother of God, held God in her womb, the most sacred place. And every single woman here is like Mary, because you have been given a womb, a sacred place, just like Mary. It's important for us to really ponder the words of St. Paul as he writes to the Corinthians, the first letter to Corinthians in chapter 6. He asks this question, as I ask to you today: do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Every single person in this church sitting here today is a temple of God. But that means, in a very special way, every single woman in this church, your bodies are temples with a sacred womb. And that baby, if you've had a miscarriage, no matter how small he or she was, had a beating heart, flowing blood, and unique DNA. And that baby is so unique, even the fingerprint of the baby will never be repeated again. That means that every single life is incredibly unique, special, and unrepeatable. You know, there's a book that came out about 14 years ago called Heaven Is For Real. It was made into a movie. But in the book, in chapter 17, the little boy who died and went to heaven finds out something he didn't know before. He finds out that he had two sisters. He grew up thinking his whole life that he only had one. And when he came back to life, to his earthly family, he spoke to his mother and said, "Mommy, I met the baby who died in your womb, but she didn't have a name." For some people, to bring that grief and pain from miscarriage is difficult, but the encouragement is to bring everything to the light. That's what the God of the universe in Jesus encourages us each to do, so we don't live in the darkness and listen to demons who tell us we're not good enough. You're too far gone. You're damaged goods. You're a this. You're a that. St. Paul said to us in our second reading today, he said to have the eyes of your heart enlightened. That means to unburden the heaviness, especially at Mass by putting our burdens on the altar, but also to let the light of the truth to shine upon your heart. And it's very possible and very probable for some of us gathered here today that it's only been a week, or 1 month, or 1 year, or even 50, 60, or 70 years since your miscarriage. just want to encourage you, if you've had a miscarriage, and invite you and your spouse, assuming they're still alive, to spend some time in prayer this week. To name your child. To name your baby. The prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament says in chapter 43, verse 1, "Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." That means for each of you sitting here today, God knows you by name. And parents actually have the privilege to name their child. So what does that look like? So it means to sit down and spend some time in prayer and ask God, was it a boy or was it a girl? And the invitation is to wait, pray, and just listen. And as you pray, and you get a sense of whether it was a boy or a girl, the invitation is to name your child. And I've sought advice on this from numerous people, and the overwhelming thing to do to grieve and to heal was people saying, encourage them to name their child. Encourage them to name their child. And one other word of encouragement for this heavy topic is also to ask your baby to pray for you. It's so comforting for anyone who is here to know that your child is more alive in heaven than he or she was on earth, but even more so at the holy sacrifice of the Mass, which we are at right now. We pray in the Creed, "I believe in the communion of saints." So that means when the priest calls down the Holy Spirit, when he makes this motion at Mass to transform the bread and the wine into the body and blood of Jesus, all of the angels, all of the saints, all of the souls in heaven are here with us. To know that your baby, if you lost him or her through miscarriage, is here at Mass, looking at you and smiling, and can't wait to be with you forever in heaven. I also understand this is a heavy topic. And sometimes when we get emotional, we forget what was said. Our ears get full, and you wonder, what was just said? Or you're thinking, oh, I have a friend who could really hear this. So just to know that these homilies are all recorded, I either post them on Facebook or on Instagram or on iTunes or Spotify, and you can just look up on Google or whatever, Father Zach Weber homilies. And one woman who I reached out to who had 4 miscarriages and has found healing and hope, wrote a blog about this to help women grieve. Her website that has a blog, it's called hopeandhealing.blog. And she just wants to help other mothers grieve, because it's such a heavy thing. I also don't want to forget about the process of helping your spouse grieve if you're a man. Like, what are men supposed to do? Because as men, our tendency is to fix everything. There's a problem, how do you fix it? Gentlemen, brothers, sons of God, just want to encourage you to know that you cannot fix a broken heart. You just can't. The invitation is to be her rock. Just to simply sit with her and let your wife be sad. And it's not hard to be a rock, because rocks don't talk. They just sit there. So the invitation is actually not to really speak any words. Just simply let her be sad. Just to sit with her, to rock on that, to be her rock, and to remember that rocks don't talk, and be the first one to bring her chocolate, ice cream, water, Kleenex, peanut butter, and just to rub her back as she mourns and grieves. And to offer a tissue anytime she needs to wipe her tears. And maybe it's been some mother sitting here, as I spoke a few weeks ago about that one girl on campus who was carrying that heavy backpack around, wondering why I'm not getting anywhere. Maybe it's because you never grieved or given permission to grieve. But today there is hope for all mothers on this Mother's Day to, again, as St. Paul said, enlighten the eyes of your heart. That comes primarily through the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 and 30, which is very consoling. Again, we're called to bring everything to the light. And what happens if we come to Jesus? In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, we hear Jesus say to each of us, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. For I am meek and humble of heart. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden light." To rest, to grieve, to not be forgotten on Mother's Day. And one thing I want to end with is just a blessing, and I just want to explain what a blessing does as we close here today, is a lot of us, when we listen to those lies from demons, from the evil one, it binds us up. I'm not free. I feel like I'm not good enough. I'm a burden. I'm a bad mother. Something's wrong with me. What blessings do is they set you free. They set you free from the lies. So let's pray. Eternal Father, source of mercy and love, out of love for us, you sent your Son and willed that blood and water flow from his side to cleanse us of sin and restore lost innocence. Please send forth your Holy Spirit upon every single person here right now. And please hear the cry of each woman who mourns the loss of her child due to miscarriage, and heal her grieving heart. Hear the cry of each woman who mourns the loss of her child due to abortion. Please grant her the grace to go to confession, to have her sin forgiven, restore her to grace, instill the terror of her heart with a peace beyond all understanding by filling her with your Holy Spirit. Hear the cry of each woman here who is a spiritual mother and was never able to conceive a child. Help her see right now that she has been a mother to so many people. And may Saint Joseph, terror of demons, humiliate all demons that oppress every woman here that believes in lies, that there is something wrong with her, that she is a bad mother or a bad wife. Please fill her and each mother here with the truth that she is made in God's image and likeness, that she is a beloved daughter of the Father, and that she is a good wife and a good mother. And we ask you, O Blessed Mother Mary, you who know what it is like to lose your child, that through your intercession, under the title of Our Lady of Sorrows, Mother of all tenderness and our Mother, that you strengthen every woman's faith in your Son, Jesus. Please give each grieving woman the hope to believe that her child is now living in heaven, smiling upon them with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I make all these prayers in the most holy, sacred name of Jesus, who is Lord and Savior forever and ever. Amen. And may Almighty God bless you on this Mother's Day, in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.